Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The message for this morning is entitled, Are You Sure? We live in a society that we are not very sure about a lot of things. A.W. Tozer, an American Christian pastor, also an author, and also a magazine editor, he said once, the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. At the present age, it is becoming difficult to be sure about many things. As we approach the last days, the weeds have grown, as predicted in the sacred pages of scriptures. They are now dishonesty, corruption, deception, immorality, selfishness, violence, lack of accountability, and lack of biblical spirituality, and many others. They all have multiplied like weeds. In some professions, lying has become normal. What must we do to feel secure, confident, and sure in a time like this? How secure is your faith today? Do you have a faith? How sure are you about God's promises for tomorrow? How firm are you in your convictions at this very moment? How do we turn on the divine light in our lives so we don't become engulfed by this world darkness? Yes, there are too many weeds. We need to cultivate our hearts with truth in order to eliminate those weeds. George Barna, with the Barna Report, published in 1991, he made an estimate of that 74% of Americans at that time, 30-some years ago, strongly agreed that there was one God, and that God was the creator, and that God is the one who rules this world. At the same time, the same study, he also estimated that 65% of the people that answered to his research also made a very interesting statement. They say there was no such thing as absolute truth. At a county fair, distinctly dressed Quaker offered for sale his horse. A known Quaker farmer asked for the price, and since the Quaker had the reputation for being a fair people, the farmer bought the horse without asking any questions. The farmer got the horse home, only to discover it was a lazy animal and very ill-tempered. So he took it back the next day. He found the Quaker in the same place. So he came to the Quaker and complained about the condition of the horse. "Thou hast no complaint against me," said the Quaker. "Had thou asked me about the horse, I would have told thee truthfully the problems. But thou liked the price, and thou didst not ask." So the farmer, scratching his head, said, "Okay, I don't want to take the horse back to you. I want to try to sell it to somebody else." And then he surprised the Quaker when he said, "Can I borrow your coat and your hat for a while?" There are a lot of religions today. The world is not in trouble because of lack of religion. This is the opposite. Religion multiplied. There are religions, all sorts of religions. Even Christianity has so many people claim to be Christians that it's becoming very, very confusing to find out what is the truth. The question is, how do I know what the truth is? if there are so many options. And that's what Satan wants. He multiplies so many options to confuse the world. So if you are here listening to this message, you are a Christian. You are a believer to some extent. So I'd like to talk to you very openly today. And I hope that I will not be offensive as I make some statement, because I am sure. And I want you to be sure. It is my responsibility before God for every one of you, young and older, to be able to stand up and be sure, to be able to have conviction in a time that is so difficult as this. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, I'm reading from the New Century Version. By the way, if I do not mention the version, it'll be New King James. But in this case, it's the New Century Version. Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for, and knowing that something is real, even if we cannot see it. John 4, 20, 24. Jesus says, God is his spirit, and those who worship him must worship in his spirit and in truth. Many people think that worship is enough, but the Bible says, because God is his spirit, those that choose to worship him must worship him in spirit and definitely in truth. Ephesians 6, verse 14, contemporary English version. It says, Paul says, be ready. Let the truth be like a belt around your waist, and let God's justice protect you like an armor. First question, if we are searching for the truth, what is the best place for a person who calls himself or herself a Christian and to go to Jesus himself? So we're going to Jesus and listen to what he states about the truth. In a New Century Version, he says this in John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way. I am the truth that you're searching for. I am the truth. And I am life. The only way to the Father is through me, the truth. You cannot get to the Father unless you have the truth, which is me. And the way to the Father is the truth. I am that way. In a New Living Translation, Psalms 86, verse 11, the Holy Scripture says, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you with the truth, with my actions, that everything that I do reflects the fact that I have the truth. It is 1 John 3, verse 18, New Living Translation, which John writes to the body of Christ by saying, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. The truth is not something that we believe in. The truth is something that we live with. It must be reflected in everything that we do. If we walk with the truth, and if we talk with the truth, if our actions reflect the truth, then we do have truth. In John 10, verse 27 and 28, Jesus talked about those who have the truth. He says, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, my sheep hears the truth. They know the truth, therefore they know my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Yes, they follow the truth. And I give them eternal life. Remember Jesus said, I'm the way, the life, the truth and life, the eternal life. And they shall never perish because they have eternal life. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my own hand. That hand that was pierced in order to redeem you. That is the truth. And I am sure. I hope you are sure. In 1 John 5:14, remember, if I don't mention the translation, it's because it's the New King James. Now, this is the confidence, or this is the assurance that we have in him, the truth. That if we ask anything according to his will, he always will hear us. Just like the sheep hear his voice, he hears our voice if we have the truth. And all our petitions will be heard by him if we live according to his will. Now, the scriptures tells us then that Jesus is the truth. But as the Bible tried to define what truth is, the Bible also tells us this. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name means Jesus, the truth, he will teach you all things. He will teach you the truth and bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. So when the truth is speak, Jesus says, I will speak to you, I'll teach you, and the Holy Spirit will help you to remember what the truth is. But it continues in John 15, 26 now. He says, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, of course, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of the truth, which is me. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he, talking about Jesus, who came by the water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by the water, but by the water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, the Bible tells me that Jesus is truth. The Bible tells me that he sends the Helper, which is also truth. In order for him, for you and I to understand the other aspect of the truth. Open your Bibles, please, in John 17, 17. And this is what Jesus says about the Word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. So now we know that Jesus is the truth, the Holy Spirit is the truth, and they guide us to the Word of God, which is also the truth. Proverbs 12:22. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which says like this: the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Why he delights in those who tell the truth? Because he is truth. And anybody who speaks the truth will delight him who is the truth. Psalms 119:160. It says, the entirety of your word is truth. Not just one verse here, another verse there. Some people do this in order for manipulate. And the Bible tells, Peter said clearly, that those that twist Paul's words just for them to satisfy their own itching ears. No, the entirety of the word is truth. Everything, if you take something out of context, that no longer becomes truth. And every one of your righteous judgments, they endure forever. For how long? Forever. Why? Because they are the truth. What is not truth will perish, but what is truth stands forever, and I am sure. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Paul gives a counsel to this young preacher called Timothy. And this is the same counsel that we give to each one of you today. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker, a believer that needs to be sure, needs to be confident. You cannot be a worker that feels ashamed, but you need to be confident because you rightly divide the word of truth, because you know the truth and you know how to handle the truth. If you do have the truth, be diligent to present it to others. Then another aspect of the truth, and this is one that makes a very distinct, is very distinct between the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all the other churches that claim to be Christians. This is very unique. And by the way, this is not our own words. I have a text here to share with you that is their own understanding that the Seventh-day Adventists are different. They are and very unique. And I'm going to share with you today their statement. Psalms 119, verse 142. I'm reading this of the King James Version. Again, Psalms 119, verse 142. This is the King James Version. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. How long? Everlasting. Forever. So thy righteousness is forever. And thy law is the truth. Now to all the people that go to church on Sunday, and from their pulpits preach that there's no more law, that the law was nailed to the cross, that we have no more obligation, that we are not saved by the law. Of course, we are not. But they say we are not saved by the law, therefore we don't need it. This is what the Bible says about, this is what the truth, the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, this is what they say about the law. And I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. It says, everyone who sins breaks God's laws, because sin is the same as breaking God's laws. Now, remember what we read before in Psalms? It says, thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness. Thy law is the truth. Therefore, anybody who breaks the law is attacking the truth. Nobody can say, I break the law, therefore I have the truth. The moment that you are breaking the law, the moment that you are in sin, you are denying the truth. You cannot have both ways. You cannot have the truth and continue your journey towards sin. You must turn your back to sin so you can face truth, so the truth can embrace you and you can have the truth. You need to be confident in God's grace. You need to turn towards the truth, because only in truth you find grace. You don't find grace when you have your back to God's law, because God's law is the truth. You cannot turn your back to the truth and still find grace. You won't. And I'm sure about that. James 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law or claim to, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of them all. And of course, this James is not talking about people that fall, because the Bible says the just falls seven times and he gets up. The emphasis is not how many times he goes down. The emphasis is how many times he gets up. That's what God's grace is all about. So when we live according to the truth, God's grace sustains us. But when we rebel and turn our back to the truth and trying to find many excuses, like many of our so-called Christians today are doing, that is very dangerous, because we try to deceive ourselves by creating a fantasy, an image of what the truth is, when the Bible is very clear what the truth is. All you have to do is examine the truth, embrace the truth, and live the truth, and be sure about the truth. James 1, verse 25, New Living Translation. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, What kind of law? Perfect law that sets you free. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you embrace the truth will make you free. Yes, that's what Jesus Christ said in John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then you ask, Pastor, what truth is talking about? The truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth. The Word is the truth. The Ten Commandments are the truth. So what makes you free? James says, the perfect law sets you free, because the perfect law is a reflection of the truth, is the truth. It is Christ, is the character of God, is Abba, own glory that is shared to us when we embrace the truth. And you shall know this truth, and this is the only truth that actually can make you free. Free from what? Free from death. Free from the grab of sin, of the satanic desire to destroy you. There are many churches, and here's the point that I don't want to be offensive to anyone, but I am sure about what I'm about to tell you. Why I am sure? Because the Word is sure, and the Word tells me that. And as I studied the Bible, I found what you should be confident to have also, the knowledge of what the truth is. Jesus was asked, and he responded very well, on the matter of truth. Who has the truth? People that go to church? Who has the truth? People that have visions? People that perform miracles? Or you can turn your television sometimes, I hope you don't. You can see people, some people on the television that says, oh, I have here some holy water from Jerusalem. If you send me a donation, I send you this, and you touch it, that will heal all your problems. Matthew 7, verse 20, 21, 22, and 23. Matthew 7, that is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Let me paraphrase that. Jesus is saying, by their fruits, you know if they're the truth or not. Because Jesus told them, your father is Satan. He is the liar, the father of all lies. Because by your fruits, you show that you do not have the truth. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. People that claim to be Christian, and yet they are following Rome. They go to church on Sunday because Rome told them to. And I'm sure about that. This week, I took the time to read something that was written, four articles. They were written 127 years ago. September 2 was published, the first one. And then the following week, every Sabbath, for four Sabbaths, this newspaper from Baltimore, the Catholic publication, wrote four articles about the Protestants claiming that the Bible is their only authority for truth. And yet this article, written by Catholics, saying, why are you calling yourselves followers of the Bible when there is no such thing in the Holy Scriptures that tells you to worship on the Sunday? That is a creation of the Roman Church, and anyone who accepts that are putting Rome over God, because there is no commandment, and this is a Catholic speaking, says there is no such thing as a commandment that asks you to worship on Sunday, but the Sabbath, and they use the word Saturday, which I don't like to use, but they say Saturday, the seventh day of the week. And then this article makes a reference to a little tiny little group, because at that time, Seventh-day Adventist Church as an organization. It was very young, was only 30 years old. And this article refers to the Adventists, says the Adventists are the only ones who actually follow the Bible, because they are going to the church when Jesus went to the church, when the disciples went to the church, when the Bible talks about the only day to be worshipped, which is the Sabbath. This is a Catholic. And by the way, anyone wants to, a copy of the article, I took the time to copy the whole article, all four of them. And I have, and I can send, if you request, I can even send the link where you can find them also online. But I read the whole, all four of them. It took me a little while, but I read in the word format, it's 12 pages. But in a small format, it's probably twice as much. But we read, and it's incredible, the defense that they make and the accusation that the Roman Church attacked the Protestants, their own daughters, for claiming to be biblical, and yet they follow Rome. Not only the Sabbath issue, they go to church on Sunday, but also on this concept that we die, but we don't die, that only the body dies, but the rest goes on living, which is a lie, and we talked this last week. Continue on verse 21. Jesus said, I'm still reading from Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Remember, the will is the truth. Me, Jesus, is the truth. So not everyone who says to the truth, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the truth of my Father in heaven. Many will say to the truth in that day to me, Jesus saying, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? We have performed these wonders in your name. And Jesus, the truth, will tell them in that day, I, the truth, never knew you. Depart from the truth, or me, you who practice lawlessness, you who reject the truth because you reject my will. If you look in a Wikipedia under the title Seventh-day Adventist Theology, you'll find it interesting. And I'm going to read part of it to you. It says, the theology of the Seventh-day Adventist Church resembles that of Protestant Christianity. And I have told our church, and I want you all to know, I want all of you to know that why I tell everyone in our church that we, Seventh-day Adventists, we have to stop claiming to be Protestant. Because sometimes we use this terminology and we have no idea what that means. Protestant is a protester that is still a Catholic. We are not Protestant because our church was born in Eden, not in Rome. The Sabbath was established with Adam and Eve, not in Rome. The day of worship established, it was established by God. The way we believe, the Bible, everything that we believe is according to scriptures, not a protest against Rome. We don't exist because we protest against Rome. We exist because God established his church, and Jesus was a Seventh-day Adventist. Adam was a Seventh-day Adventist. Noah was a Seventh-day Adventist, and I am sure that's why I am a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not a Protestant. I am just a biblical Christian, and I hope that at this moment you also embrace that conviction and claim to be a follower of Christ, not somebody who protests against anything. My existence is not to protest against anything. My commitment is to follow the truth and live the truth. And he continues by saying, oh, the Seventh-day Adventists have something from the Lutheran, the Wesleyan, the Arminian, the Anabaptists, branches of the Protestant Church. Adventists believe the infallibility of the Scripture. Of course we do. And then may I say, nobody else does. We believe that the Bible is the only source of all that we believe. Martin Luther, the reformer, agrees with that when he said in his Smalcald articles, I may mispronounce that, but it spells Smalcald, articles 2, page 15. He said, the true rule is this, God's word shall establish articles of faith, and no one else from Rome, from Washington, D.C., whatever, no one else, not even an angel can do so. Of course, Martin Luther, when he wrote this, he was making reference to the words of Paul in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. And I read from the New Century Version. We preach, Paul saying, to you the good news. We preached it to you, the good news. So if we ourselves or even an angel from heaven should preach to you something different, you should be judged guilty. I said this before, and I will say it again, Paul continues. And he said this in verse 9, you have already accepted the good news. If anyone is preaching something different to you, let that person be judged guilty. No one can say to you, oh, we go to church on Sunday because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. Some people may say, oh, we no longer listen to anything from the Old Testament because that's old. We live by the New Testament. That is all heresies that has been created by the Roman Church and all her daughters. And I don't mean to be offensive. If anyone today is listening and you have a Catholic background, I was there also. And I was very faithful Catholic because that's all that I knew. But one day somebody put a Bible in my hand and says, this will change you. And that person spoke with such a confidence that it stimulated my curiosity. And I took that book and I read from Genesis to Revelation. And when I finished Revelation, I had no other choice but stand up and say, I want to be part of this church because this church is completely biblical. And I was baptized and was the best decision that I made in my life. That's why today I'm sure. And I will remain sure as long as this church follows 100%, not 99.9999%, but 100% the word of God, which is the truth. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. And by the way, let me apply this for today. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of those that distort in the truth, or don't even go to their meeting places and sit on those that are blaspheming against God's word. But blessed is the man whose his delight is on the truth of the law of God, and his law, the truth, he meditates day and night, so that he can always be sure. Because, brothers and sisters, the secret of confidence is the ability to be familiar with the truth. Unless you embrace the truth, unless you eat the truth in the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, as you go to bed, as you stand up, if you don't have the truth with you at all time, you will also come into doubt. You may come a moment that you will not be sure. But if you do have the truth, and if you meditate in the truth day and night, you will be always confident. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him, the truth, if we keep his truth, his commandments. He who says, I know him, meaning anyone who says, I have the truth, but does not keep his commandments, they don't have truth. They are liars, and the truth is not in them. Very clear, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us about a young man that came to Jesus seeking the truth. Many people come to Jesus to seek the truth, and unfortunately, Satan interferes and deceives them, and they embrace half truth, and they think they have the whole truth. And they become, and they stop searching, and they sit in those pews and those churches, and they listen, and they see, they listen, and they end up being deceived. How many Reformed churches today call Protestant churches, when the Holy Spirit visited them, it was with the intent to take them out of their pagan religion that it long became and brought them back to the Bible. And they even claim the Reformed claim, Martin Luther claim, Calvin claim, all of the Reformers claim that they have only faith on the Bible and the Bible alone. They call in Latin the sola scriptura, Bible only. They start their journey out of the church, but they didn't go far enough. And that's why the Bible calls all those churches the daughters of Babylon. Luke 18, verse 18 all the way to 23. Now a certain ruler, and some other version says a young ruler, ask him, Jesus, the truth, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It was like saying, Jesus, what do I do to find the truth? I want the truth. I want eternal life. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. The word good here means perfect. And so Jesus was not saying that he was not good, but he was saying the model for you, for all of us, should be God in heaven. So Jesus continued by saying, you know the commandments. Now, you know the truth. And Jesus said, here is the truth. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Notice that Jesus only used the second table of the law, because that was basically the need of this young man. In verse 21, Jesus continued. The young man responded, all these things I have kept from my youth. Yeah, I went to church. They taught me those things. I keep them as long as I can remember. I keep them. So Jesus heard those things, and he said to him, you still lack one thing, young man. Sell all the stuff that you have. Give it to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. And then come and become my disciple. Follow the truth. You're searching for the truth. The truth is here. Follow the truth. Become my disciple. And by the way, if he would have accepted the invitation, today we will be reading the gospel according to this ruler, and we will have known his name. But no, we don't know his name. We don't know anything else about him except the verse, what it says in verse 23. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. No, brother and sister, he was the poorest man that ever lived, because he received an invitation to go to become a follower of Christ, to receive eternal life. The most precious jewel was being offered to him, and he did not have the ability to see the value, and he walked away, and probably he was buried with his treasure. Matthew 16, 21 and 26 tells us, from that time, referring to Jesus, began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, why to suffer many things from the elders and also from the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. What is said about this is that the disciples heard everything that Jesus said except the last part of what Jesus said. Isn't that the problem sometimes? When we go to church, we hear only part of the truth, and we walk away with only part of the truth. This happens to Peter and some of the disciples, because look what it says in verse 22. Then Peter took Jesus aside, almost like grab him by the arm and pull him away from the other people that were around. And the Bible says, and Peter rebuked him. How dare him? He rebuked the truth by saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Sometimes people think that good intentions are good enough. Here is a man thinking that a good intentions was good enough, but he didn't hear the most important part of the statement Jesus said, and he will be raised up in the third day. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of those things of God, but all that you are concerned is but the things that are pertaining to men. You know what Jesus was talking about? Oh, they were dreaming about the day when Jesus was called the angels from heaven and pushed the Romans back to Italy and established the kingdom of David, even greater than what David was, and become this overwhelming, famous kingdom that will last forever. And Peter was looking forward to become one of the ministers. And all the disciples, they all have even their mothers argue about what position my son is going to have. They all have the greedy for power. And they were denying the true power of truth. But he turned to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Even inside of the true church, sometimes Satan tried to deviate us from the truth. And Jesus said to his disciples, verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, if anybody desires to follow the truth, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Oops. Up to this point, they were only picking up baskets of bread. They are picking up people that have been healed, miracles, wonderful things. But now, Jesus introduced this cross business. Oh, that didn't sound good for their ears. Pick up your cross and follow the truth. Many of us, Lord, are denying the truth because we do not want to pick up our cross. When it comes the time to write a check, to be faithful to God, to return to God what belongs to God, when it comes the time for us to support God's church, the ministry, sometimes we are not willing to pick up the cross. We only want the baskets of bread, but we do not want the cross. You cannot follow the truth unless you pick up your cross. For whoever desires to save his life will end up losing it. But whoever loses his life for the sake of the truth will find and will keep it forever. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life. No one will go to the Father unless come to me. John 6:6 From that time, many of his disciples, I'm going to add this to say, they refused to pick up their cross. They say, oh, no. Do I have to return tithe? Do I have to give a church offering? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got something else to do. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They turned their backs to the truth, because they did not want that part of the truth, which involves the cross. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away also?" Verse 67. Then Peter, the same one that Satan used before, now the Holy Spirit is using Peter. He says, "But Simon Peter answered to Jesus the truth, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the truth. You have the words of eternal life. You are the one.'" And that it was the Spirit of truth who revealed that to Peter. Let me illustrate here. A little boy was about to visit the dentist for the first time in his life. He wasn't too sure he was going to like the adventure. For several days before the D-Day, his mother tried to reassure him and to explain the procedure as much as possible, just to make him calm and not make him too worried about this unique experience. The day finally arrived. Mother took him, to this nervous boy, to the dentist. After a nervous wait in the reception room, the child was escorted to the large chair. The dentist reached out for his instruments and told the little boy with a smile in his face that he was about to clean his teeth. The child, bearing up bravely, asked in a trembling voice, "Are you sure you know what you're doing? That doesn't look like a toothbrush to me." Many people today have the same problem. They expect the truth to be something. They expect the truth not to have any discomfort. And they assume what the truth is because they make their own convenient concept of what the truth must be. The little boy's reaction to the dentist is not unlike Peter's reaction to Jesus' revelation about the upcoming difficult moments. Jesus tells Peter, "It is time to go to Jerusalem. It is time for us to go beyond the baskets of bread. Now comes the moment for the cross." Now, Peter's reaction was, "Master, God forbid that any such thing ever happened to you." Or in a little boy's phrasing, I must say, it's like Peter was saying to Jesus, "Master, are you sure you know what you're saying? Master, are you sure you know what you're doing?" Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. Jesus knew his mission. And as people of the truth, we must know what is coming tomorrow, what is coming in the near future, and what is what Jesus has reserved for all of us who remain the truth into the last time. John 8:44, New Century Version. It says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to do what he wants. He was a murderer from the beginning and was against the truth." Everything this truth, the devil is against, because there is no truth in the devil. There is no light in darkness. When he tells a lie, he shows exactly what he is all about, because he is a liar and the father of all lies. In 1808, yes, more than 200 years ago, John Lingard wrote a letter to a clergyman, to a pastor. In this letter, in a conclusion, he wrote a poem. This poem has been used by many people, has been used by Catholics, has been used by Protestants, has been used even in the Senate. There's a record that was even used by the United States Senate. It's on the records. This is what it says. I hope my pronunciation would not destroy the, the understanding of this because it's very unique. It says like this: halting on clutches of unequal size, one leg by truth supported, one by lies. Thou's sidle to the goal with awkward pace, secure of nothing but to lose the race. What he's saying here is that imagine a person who cannot walk and has to use clutches, but the clutches are a different size. One leg is shorter than the other. It says one is the truth, another one is lies. And it says this person awkwardly, even though he has these clutches, he will not win the race because he cannot walk properly. My question for you, my brothers and sisters, this afternoon is, what are you sure as far as your salvation? What are you sure about as the church that you are part of it? Is your church really the body of Christ? Is your church 100% based on the Bible? Or is your church based on fallacy of humans? Does your church have more loyalty towards Rome than towards the Bible? Is your church following what Rome dictates or what the Word of God dictates? You cannot have Rome and God at the same time, because the God of Rome is not the same God of the Bible. When they go to church, they go to church because the head of the Roman church tells them what day to go. When you follow the Bible, the truth, you go to the church when God said it's time to go to church. There is only one day that has Abba stamped to it, and that is the seventh day. There is no such thing as no consequence for sin. The Roman church and all her daughters teach that it's not the human being who dies when we die. It's only the body. Then the rest of you keeps going on living. That's satanic. That's a lie. That's not the truth. And I'm sure, if you may ask, absolutely sure. Psalms 28 verse 2 says this: hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. Those that are sure, they will raise their hands towards God's sanctuary, not towards Rome. Psalms 119 verse 48, my hands also I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Those that truly have the truth will lift up their hands towards the holy sanctuary of God. Those that have the truth will lift up their hand assured with confidence towards the truth, that your commandments, the commandments of God. In Exodus 17, verse 11, it tells us that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel was in a battle. And by the way, we are in a battle between good and evil. And when Moses held up his hand, it says that Israel prevailed. And when he got tired and put his hand down, Amalek prevailed. Brothers and sisters, when you who knows the truth put your hands down, there are people that are perished because you have your arms crossed, because you're staying at home watching television, doing nothing more than sharing your faith. But if you do share your faith, you'll be like Moses. Standing up and lift up your hands towards God's sanctuary, towards God's commandments, and you be an instrument of salvation. You be somebody who can be motivated to drive other people to the light of Christ. Use the truth not only to enjoy the blessings of the truth, but especially to be an instrument of salvation and compassion to others. To those that says that we as a Seventh-day Adventist, we are not the remnant church, I'd like for you to meditate on those words. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon, Satan, was enraged with the woman, the church, the body of Christ. Not every church, but the church who follows the Bible 100%. And he went to make war. Satan went to make the war to the rest of her offsprings. Why rest? Because many left. Just like the disciples turned their back on Jesus when Jesus says there is a cross. They left. But there is a group that is stayed, just like the apostles stayed with Jesus. To whom shall we go? You have. So some stayed, and that is you and I, who keep the commands of God and have the testimony, the witness of Jesus Christ, the truth. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Who are the saints? The rest of the woman's offspring. Here are those who keep the commands of God and have the faith of Jesus, or have the faith of truth. In conclusion, I'd like to share with you an illustration. I don't know how many of you are old enough to have heard this commercial. It's a Sure deodorant commercial from the 80s. The commercial was very well put together. Artistically, is positive, is inspiring, it is happy, it is very captivating. And the words are even more powerful. I copied the words, and I'm going to read them to you. And I want you to not to think about a deodorant. I want to ask you to think about the application, about the truth, about your relationship with God. At this moment, I'd like to say this to you. If you feel like to respond as I read the words of this commercial, and as we apply this in a spiritual application, if you feel that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, takes over your heart and makes you stand up and raise your hand, I hope you do. I will do, because I am sure. It says like this, the commercial. Raise your hand. You got it. Raise your hand. You know it. You feel confident, secure. Raise your hand. You feel dry now. Raise your hand. Do it right now. Raise your hand. If you're sure, you got it. That sure, secure confidence feeling. Because each sure gives you enough protection to help you feel dry all day. Confident, dry and secure. Raise your hand if you are sure. I am sure, brothers and sisters. I am sure about the truth. That's why I'm preaching you the truth. The words of God is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. His commandments are truth. Now, I'm asking you, are you embracing the truth this afternoon? Are you standing up for God? Are you raising your hand as Moses raised his hand and say, I am sure? Because when you raise your hand, there is life. When you put your hands down, there is death. Put your hands up, be sure. And the question, are you sure? I hope that God, the Holy Spirit, can hear a resound answer inside of your home right this moment. Yes, we are sure. And we stand up and we raise our hand because we are sure. God bless.
At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. Please turn to hymn number 610, Stand Like the Brave.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Oh, Christian, awake, 'tis the Master's command, with helmet and shield and a sword in thy hand. To meet the bold tempest, so fearlessly go, set stand like the brave, with thy face to the foe. Stand like the brave, stand like the brave, stand like the brave, with thy face to the foe. The cause of thy master with vigor defend, be watchful, be zealous, and fight to the end. Wherever he leads thee, go valiantly, go. And stand like a brave, with thy face to the foe. Stand like the brave, stand like the brave, stand like the brave, with thy face to the foe. Press on, never doubting, thy casting is near, with grace to supply and with comfort to cheer. His love like a stream in the desert will flow. Then stand like the brave, with thy face to the foe. Stand like the brave, stand like the brave, stand like the brave, with thy face to the
remember, brother and sister, raise your hand. You got it. Raise your hand. You know it. It's time to be confident. It's time to be sure. It's time to have confidence in Christ Jesus, the only truth that may take us to eternal life. Yes, be confident. Be confident. Be secure. May the Lord bless you at this moment. Bow your heads, please, for the benediction. May God give you the confidence on His truth. May God give you confidence on His forgiveness and grace. May the Lord give you the power to follow His footsteps, to be confident that His salvation for you is possible if you only surrender your life to His will. Bless, Lord, each person that has joined us this morning in a worship service and is still with us in this afternoon. Bless each one of them, Lord. Bless the homes where they represent. Make their homes the temple. Lord, I hope. I couldn't see them, but your eyes did. When they stood up and they raised their hand and they made a commitment to be sure, to follow the truth. So when you come at the end to bring with you the reward of eternal life, may each hand that was lifted up this morning to receive that precious gift. Now, Lord, I ask, please reach out for my hand, Lord, and give me your grace. And to everyone that is raising their hands at this moment, reach out, Lord, and give them the grace that they are seeking. Keep them always secure and always sure. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.